Welcome back to Top Dogs. Today we're going to be talking about Japan's famous influence on America, anime and manga. As many of you know, we recently lost the legendary Akira Toriyama, creator of such titles as Dragon Ball Z, Chrono Trigger, Dragon Quest, a lesser-known series called Dr. Slump, and many other franchises. He was an influence not only in Japan, but across the entire world. Today's episode is dedicated to his memory, and we send our condolences to the Toriyama family. Sit back as we discuss how anime and manga has become a part of our lives.
This is episode 84, Japan's Influence on America.
Oh my goodness. All right, hi everybody. My name is Sakura Hanatsuki.
I'm Sri Markadad.
I'm XX Mumu.
I'm Kofi Cola.
And I'm Trick the Stick.
Well guys, today's going to be a very special episode. We're going to talk about something very interesting and something that happened recently. So let's start off with who this episode is dedicated to. So has any work from Akira Toriyama been part of your life? Sakura, why don't you start us off?
Actually, quite a bit. Akira Toriyama's work, I mean, that goes all the way back to the very first JRPG I ever played, which was actually the original Dragon Quest for the original Nintendo. My grandmother had it, and anytime that we would vacation at her house, I'd sit down, I'd play Dragon Quest or, you know, any of the other games that she had, you know, available for us kids to play. And I'm actually currently going through that one on my Twitch stream right now. Is kind of also a dedication to Toriyama-san for the month. It hit really hard to find out that he had passed away. Growing up, Dragon Ball Z had been a really big thing, especially all the way through high school. Every kid who was big into the anime scene loved Dragon Ball Z. Every fan friend that I had either had the episodes on VHS, or they had the collector's card games, or, you know, we could just talk about the anime. Later down the road, growing up with the Super Nintendo, I played Chrono Trigger. I discovered a lot more of his works as time went on, but he has definitely been a very huge influence on my life. How about you, Kofi?
So I watched Dragon Ball Z. I watched a little bit of the original Dragon Ball, and that's kind of what introduced me to him as well. And I also played the Dragon Quest games, though I never touched Chrono Trigger. I'd have a lot of friends who have talked so many good things about it. And I know it's on like my to-do list of games to play and enjoy. For me though, it's like the work that has touched me more, as well as like the creators of Naruto and One Piece, like they both looked up to him as well. I think one of the most touching things that, like, for me, that kind of shook me, and just thinking about it now kind of has me shaking, is their notes of saying goodbye and like what he did to touch them. Like, they both grew up reading and watching Dragon Ball, the original before Z, and how much that they looked up to him and how it inspired them to even start writing their own manga. And then they actually got to meet him and became friends with him, and they would talk and just hang out like normal people as well, kind of like how some streamers meet up with normal people like us. And it was very humbling to read that, like, they themselves lost a friend. Like, it's people that were close as well as worldwide that he has touched all of our hearts. And, like, it is, for me, it's been very emotional just thinking back on how much I also grew up with it as well, even though not as much as Sakura has.
I remember when I was younger watching, like, I think I watched the Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Z Kai, and I enjoyed all of it. It helped me become the artist I am today, honestly, because it inspired me to draw. What about you, Mumu?
Very much so the same. Back in, like, elementary school, when I was, like, growing up and just, like, hanging out with my friends, I had a childhood friend and crush introduced me to Dragon Ball. So I'd go over to like their house and I'd play the games. I'd read the manga with them. I'd have a sleepover with them and we'd just hang out and just watch Dragon Ball. And it was really fun because it was kind of where I became a little competitive, and it was also where like I started to draw, because I was inspired by a lot of like the details and ways that he had drawn things in the manga and like created the characters, they were just really compelling and I really enjoyed them. And honestly, it's very close to my heart because growing up, like going through the years, that was something constant that I was always able to go back and read and be comforted by because it was just something that was ever evolving.
Anime and manga has a genre for everyone. What is your favorite story types when you're looking for something to read or watch? Slice of life, horror, fantasy, mecha, isekai, etc. Well, what is your style and type that you like, Mumu?
Honestly, I like a lot of slice of life and also mecha stuff. So I like animes like Your Lie in April, where it's like a soft burn, slow burn romance. And honestly, because I'm born in April, I'm a little biased. But I also like animes. One of my favorites is Neon Genesis Evangelion, and I actually just started rewatching it. I have the whole DVD box set. I absolutely love that one, and I'm planning on getting a Asuka tattoo.
Yes, do it.
And in fact, it being one of my favorite animes, one of my favorite bands actually did an album where some of the songs are based off of Neon Genesis Evangelion. It's so cool, and they played the opening theme song while I was at their concert a while ago.
Oh.
But I know, it was so amazing. But other than that, I tend to like mecha, sometimes Super Sentai. I kind of am just spread all over. Sakura?
I think my two biggest ones, more than any others, is either Slice of Life or it is Isekai. There's just, you know, you can relate so much to the Slice of Life stuff because a lot of it uses this real Japanese culture, real locations, real everything. So it's something that gives you that feeling of this is what life is actually like in Japan. This is what people think. This is what people do. And it feels like something you can make a connection to. When it comes to the isekai anime, I don't know why, but I really like the idea. Of like when you die, you begin a whole different life in just like this alternate reality, this alternate world. Or say like an anime like Sword Art Online, where we're wearing these VR headsets and there's no logout button, and if we take our headsets off, we die. You know, and that was also one in Dot Hack as well.
Can you guys explain to me what is isekai? Because I've never heard that term before.
So isekai basically means that you have died in the real life and you are reincarnated into a fantasy world.
Okay.
So
not always by death either, too.
Sounds pretty cool.
But like I can explain like even more with that. So there's some of the situations are another world is casting magic and it grabs a couple people and brings them to their world. How they get back? We'll deal with that later. But you just got yoinked from your world and now you're in our world to deal with our problems. That's another like isekai theme.
And like I mentioned, the big one with Sword Art Online is, you know, they've got these headsets called the Nerve Gear, and it's a full dive where you put the headset on, you lay in your bed, and you basically control your everything with just, you know, your thought impulses. And, well, they made it, the creator went completely ape balls and made it so that way if anybody took their headsets off, they died. So you had to beat the game in order to get back to your real life. So that's how they were taken from the reality into the virtual reality. They were isekai'd. They were taken to that world with their headset. So that's another version of isekai.
It's basically when you died in the game, you died for real, which is a horrible way to go.
Oh yeah, that was another big thing about SAO, is if you died in the game, you died in real life.
Man, I can't imagine. That would be too stressful. I'm out of the game, man. I'm not playing anymore.
You don't have a choice.
No. I'm not much of a gambler.
But when it comes to like the slice of life animes, I think one of my all-time favorites has always been Lucky Star. I don't know if any of you guys have seen Lucky Star.
I love Lucky Star.
I love Lucky Star too. Thank you. It's so cute.
If you guys have not seen Lucky Star, I definitely recommend it. It's a really good one. You get a lot of different themes, a lot of different genres, a lot of different, just everything in that show. It's really good. So yes, definitely Trick, I would recommend it. And actually, let's just go ahead and hear from you, Trick.
I'm a big slice of life person as well, but I like ones that are weird, I guess, like Violet Evergarden, if you've ever heard of that one. Ooh. That's a really,
yes,
that's one of my favorite animes. The boy and the piano and the, I think it's called The Piano in the Forest, where it's like this boy, he becomes this world famous piano player. I'm not going to spoil the story outside of that, because it's such a heart-wrenching series, and it's all about listening to beautiful music as well. Piano music, like, it's so gorgeous. I highly recommend it. Gosh, I love fantasy as well. Like, one of my second favorite animes is, oh goodness, what is it called? Come on brain, ADHD moment, let's go.
We just had an episode about this.
Almost there. It's the one with Meliodas.
Oh, I know which one you're talking. Yes,
Seven Deadly Sins.
Yes.
That's a really good one as well, in my opinion. A little silly, but it's really good.
No, that is a really good one. 10 out of 10 recommend. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. What about you, Kolfi?
Oh boy, have I watched anime. I grew up with it for so long that, like, my preference for anime, I do like my slice of life, but I like things that provoke thought. So anything, like, right now, an anime in this current season is Classroom of the Elite. It's a high school anime, but it's all psychology based. So I like a lot of realism. So my slice of life is like more of the suspense, realism, social construct thinking. And then even when it comes to like the fantasy stuff, like I only started watching One Piece recently, and the reason why I didn't start like earlier was it wasn't real enough to where it's like, okay, this guy ate a fruit and now he's made out of rubber. And that's kind of BS in my opinion. But Full Metal Alchemist, dealing with anime, I loved both the original Full Metal Alchemist and Brotherhood, because alchemy is something that has been studied and has been thought of, and it does play by a select set of rules of, you can't just create something out of nothing, the laws of equal exchange, so on and so forth. And that kind of realism kind of draws me into anime and helps me keep to it. And for me, if an anime has good food, that is my good draw there. Right now, my favorite anime of all time, Food Wars Shokugeki no Soma. You can make all the food in that anime, is my favorite anime. But then you get other silly ones where you can still make all the food in there too, like Campfire Cooking. It's an isekai. It's got a giant, big, fluffy dog. And it's got a cooking that you can actually do very similar in real life.
Interesting. Yeah.
Like, with that similar situation where if you describe an anime, there's a good chance I might have seen it and can help you with naming them, because I have seen so much. My anime list is very, very long.
Well, I think we're in the process of losing stream at the moment.
But could I bring a recent anime up? Has anybody seen Delicious in Dungeon?
I have been watching clips from that. I really want to see that.
You have?
I really do. Yes.
We should watch it together, because I figured out how to stream it.
Yes, let's do it. Yeah. You guys know that one, Delicious in Dungeon?
I've seen it. I haven't watched it yet.
Do you want to give the premise of it?
I don't know the premise of it. I just have friends who've been trying to get me to watch it. I just know that there's food in it. You talking about like food and anime has just like it made my brain turn. It was like, oh, this is also an anime that has like food as a heavy topic in it.
So a quick TLDR, the whole premise of the episode is these people go down into like this monster infested dungeon, and they kill the monsters, and then they cook the monster meat.
Ooh.
And that's how it works. So it's different ways of how to cook these monsters.
Ooh.
It's actually really good. The clips that I've seen are very, very promising. It looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
Stream. Konbanwa.
Might.
Genki desu ka?
Oh.
He's turning into a pretzel.
Yeah, he is. Okay, well, I'll keep the episode going here. We obviously, we've all got these shows that we've grown up watching. We've got all these shows that have really impacted our lives. A lot of, you know, ones that we find very interesting. But let's go back to, like, the way... Let's take the way back machine here. What anime, movie, show, manga even, got you into the anime genre? Momo, why don't you give us a start?
I have a really bad memory. I'm gonna start out with that. But one of the earliest animes that I remember watching was Inuyasha.
I love yes. Inuyasha.
It's so
I
good.
I cosplayed
so
Inuyasha.
Good. I don't remember much of it. I really do have to rewatch it because, you know, when I don't watch something for a while, it just goes poof out of my brain. But that's one of the earliest ones I remember watching. I've also watched Sailor Moon and live stream. I've also watched Sailor Moon. I know I've watched like Black Butler as an early start. I want to say it was like also the Persona anime.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
It's all right, give or take. It's better to play the games. You get more of the lore.
Fair.
So, growing up, a close friend of mine, her father was a pastor of their local priest, local church, and he's the one who introduced us and the kids to playing Yu-Gi-Oh! And watching the anime. We watched Digimon all together, we watched the original Dragon Ball Z together, and just the original Dragon Ball. Inuyasha was on that list with Sailor Moon. We watched Hamtaro, if anyone remembers that gem of an anime. Within my VHS collection that my dad had, I had Nausicaä and the Valley of the Four Winds, Princess Mononoke, grew up with all the Studio Ghibli films, so that was a lot of my early childhood that I grew up with.
So, for me, Pokemon. Pokemon was my very, very, very first anime when I was an itty-bitty little pup. I would watch it before school every day, and that would be my ritual. I'd eat my breakfast and watch my little Pokemon show, and then I'd go to school. It was either then Dragon Ball Z or, please don't judge me, Shaman King.
I've heard a lot of good things about Shaman King, actually.
Loved Shaman King, especially when I was younger. It just, like, it was really cool to just learn about all the different, like, religions that exist and, like, all the made-up ones that were in that series as well. There's some not-so-tasteful stuff in it now as years have gone by.
Like,
know?
Fine wine. This one aged like moldy cheese.
Yes, exactly! Unlike Pokemon, it did not age as well. But Pokemon, chef's kiss. You know, that was an anime. I have those on disc still, the first few episodes.
Speaking of Pokemon, do you guys remember that one episode of Pokemon that got banned like everywhere because it gave a bunch of people like seizures?
Yeah, the Polygon episode.
Yeah.
The Polygon episode, and then the other one that got banned was the Tentacruel episode.
My very first anime, I remember growing up, it was elementary school. I became obsessed with the original 1990 Sailor Moon. So badly that for probably about the span of a month, it took over everything, and I actually got really made fun of hardcore because favorite song was, you know, she's the one named Sailor Moon. Everything was moon-shaped. No, we don't look at my forehead. That totally did not have an influence on it.
Medieval by moonlight, winning love by daylight.
Yes,
back down from a real fight.
She is the one named Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon. He's but, the one yeah, mainstream Arca dad.
Yeah, had a major system crash right here. I try to tell one of my friends, I'm not available right now. That was the worst mistake of my life on this episode. Oh well, stuff happened. Computers, right?
It's. I know, right? But yeah, that was my way back machine. And then I started with Dragon Ball Z, which then led into the original Dragon Ball. And then actually came Inuyasha right after that one, because by then we had Toonami on Cartoon Network, and that introduced me to like Trigun and Cowboy Bebop and a whole bunch of others that I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
Death Note.
And then Death Note came a lot later. Yeah. Outlaw Star. That was another really big one that they had on Toonami.
Yes.
I loved Outlaw Star.
What was your first anime? Because I know that you haven't watched much for animes. You probably can remember your first one that you were introduced to, or your first one you had watched. How about you?
Is Pokemon considered anime?
Yeah, Pokemon is.
Absolutely.
I used to watch Pokemon on television when we used to have cable, and I had VHS tapes of the movies as well. So that was a long time ago. I'm an Arcanine, and this is first generation Pokemon. We're at, what, 9 or 10 now? So it's quite different. I used to watch the Digimon, too, as 14, well, which I really like. And Beyblade was another one that I loved watching when I was a kid.
Oh, I forgot about too. Beyblade.
So good.
Beyblade. So I grew up in the generation of elementary school where people would bring their Beyblades, and they had to ban them at our school because we were wrecking the plastic slides with our Beyblades. Like, they had to ban them from elementary school. Like, you can't bring them anymore.
You see, it's funny you say that, because they actually had to ban Game Boys and Pokemon cards at our elementary school and our middle school, because we were doing too much of the Pokemon in school. Trick, you've been trying to say something. What do you got?
I had the coolest Beyblade setup when I was a kid. I had my custom Beyblade that I built myself out of different Beyblade parts. It was the ultimate Beyblade. And then I had the, like, full grip, string rip cord with the Allen wrench thing on the bottom, like, full, like, Beyblade setup. And, oh god, I loved Beyblade growing up. It was my favorite. Ooh, what I knocked down.
I had two very fancy Beyblades. I had the one from the All-Star Steam, you know, the one that had two layers, and when you hit the bottom of it bounced up and started jumping. I had that one. And you know the small intellectual guy that his Beyblade was a spring? I had that one too, that it would jump around, and it didn't spin for long, but it would jump on other Beyblades and it would stop them really quickly. So those were my two favorites. Cool.
Do you all remember?
They're not the same anymore. I don't really like them as much anymore. So, oh well.
Do you all remember when they changed Beyblades from being like made out of metal into like plastic, and they just went plummeting in quality? I was so sad because I had just lost one of my favorite ones right before they had changed to plastic.
Oh no!
Man, my ex made me donate all of my Beyblades. So. I don't even have them anymore either.
That's rough. Like, I know friends that, like, they went to, like, they go to FWA and they go to MFF, but every single con they go to, they bring their Beyblades, and at the room parties, they're like, hey, we're having a Beyblade tournament at a room party, and be there. But they always bring it. So I know FWA, at one of their rooms, they're, like, they're going to be playing with their Beyblades.
I love that.
Still happening 20 years later. 20 years later.
Of course.
And it's still happening.
People are still playing Classics. Yu-Gi-Oh!
I used to play with marbles when I was a kid before Pokemon and all that stuff.
Same.
I'm the awkward one out here. I never got into Beyblade. I never had a Beyblade. I never watched the anime. I'd only ever heard of it and seen the commercials for it, but Beyblade was not very prominent in my life, so it's it's weird.
Valid.
I did listen to Naruto later on in life, but generally speaking, I'm so busy that I don't really sit down and, you know, watch animes and stuff. This is why I'm moderating the episode today. It's because I have very limited knowledge. But one thing I gotta say is that the battles for Beyblade were really epic, and they didn't take forever like the Naruto battles, which take forever. It's ridiculous. It killed it for me. I was like, no, I can't watch this anymore. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, 20 minutes, they throw three punches. I'm like, come on, man. It's like, do it. Let's move on.
Dragon Ball was worse. Dragon Ball was worse.
Dragon Ball Z was so much worse. It takes three episodes to power up into one form with screaming for an hour.
I've heard about that. Anime has also dipped into the video game community, where whether it's base, it's game-based, or a show, or a movie, or is it its own franchise? Have you played any games based on anime? Which one was your favorite? Kofi, why don't you start us off?
Sure. So I played a lot of the Dragon Ball games, and obviously the anime came out before the games, but I grew up with that. I grew up with a lot of the Digimon and Pokemon games as well. I've even played some game that was a visual novel before it became an anime, and that was Higurashi When They Cry. And so, like, for me, I grew up with things going one way then the other, and both. And, like, I grew up watching one be an anime before it even became a manga, or even, like, for Western animation and mangas, Scott Pilgrim versus the World was a manga, and they took that manga and did it as a screenplay, almost one for one in a lot of their scenes. Which I also played the Scott Pilgrim game as well, too.
Excellent game. I love that one. Play with
yes,
my husband.
Very good. They actually just came out with an anime on Netflix too that is actually one-to-one with the manga, and it is so good.
Ooh, yes it is.
I love Pokemon. Pokemon has an incredibly special place in my heart. Me and my dad played Pokemon together. We did the card games. He got me into the video games, and I'm moving.
Sit back down, please.
Like, yeah.
I know you're excited, but take a seat.
But I love Pokemon. Another more, like, obscure game, though, is Fossil Fighters. It's got a very anime-style-esque game. And have you ever heard of it? Has anyone ever heard of Fossil Fighters? Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Sakura, really? No? Okay, so Fossil Fighters is this video game where you get to fight with dinosaurs. Like, you have a team of dinosaurs that you fight with, kind of like Pokemon, except instead of catching them, you kind of dig up their fossils, and the more fossils you have for the dinosaur, the stronger they are. But you need a head fossil to actually resurrect the dinosaur.
What console? I'm gonna have to look that up.
DS. Fossil Fighters. It's so good. What about you, Sakura?
Oh, goodness gracious. There's a lot. Especially once they started hitting North America, the Dragon Ball Z games, whether it was like Tenkaichi or Budokai. There were titles for the Super Nintendo. There was, like, Dragon Ball Z Hyper Dimension, Dragon Ball Z Legend of the Super Saiyan, which was actually a JRPG. It was almost kind of card-based. It was weird gameplay, but then once consoles started getting older, I started playing games. Like, there was Inuyasha Feudal Combat, which was a fighter game that had all the Inuyasha characters. And then there was Secret of the Cursed Mask, which was an Inuyasha JRPG, which was really good. There was Dragon Ball Z Ultimate Battle 22, but you could put in like a special code that they had in the instruction manual, which I think turned it into 24? I don't remember the exact number. I'm going to get chastised for this one. Leave it in the comments down below. But yeah, no, I've definitely played a lot of video games based on anime. The list is entirely too long to sit here and bore anybody, but I was also the Pokemon nerd. I had the Game Boy back in, you know, middle... For us, it was middle school, because I remember it was down in the lunchroom when it was brand new. We had our big brick Game Boys. We had, with the green screens, we had our link cables. We were trading Pokemon and fighting each other all through lunch period and recesses. And yeah, no, that got the kibosh put on it very quickly.
Hey, are you sure you're older than me? I had mine in elementary school.
We're not going to dox ourselves, but I'm interested in talking to you about that. It might have been elementary school.
And
yeah,
we're
gonna trade our Pokemon.
No,
I'm gonna trade your Butterfree for my Raticate, and we'll call it a day.
No, I'm gonna trade my Haunter for your Graveler.
Hey, let's go. We both win on that one.
Exactly. Congratulations. You're both
original
nerds.
Red and blue cool. trades.
What about you, Momo?
I played some of the Dragon Ball fighting games where it'd be like you and someone else. I forget which console it is, but it'd be you and someone else on like the vast playing field, and then you would just beat each other up. And then I also this was the only time I really got into Pokemon, but I had Pokemon Black and White, specifically I think it was Pokemon Black.
That was
and that being said, my favorite starter is Oshawa, and that's because purely they turned into Samurott, and they have such a cool design. I love them.
I agree.
I have no idea what she's talking about. I don't know those red generations. Sorry.
What generation is that? This is newer nerd shit.
Okay. I'm out of the
it's
game
not
then.
That
I'm
cool.
This is all, this is closer to my generation.
Editors, put a Samurott right here for stream to be able to see. This is a Samurott. Yeah, there we go. We're in a Vanna White.
Yeet! Just like...
Nope.
But yeah, those are like barely the only really anime-tied games from Japan that I've really played. Do the later, like, Bayonetta games count? I don't know if they do. I don't think they do.
It's not really. I mean, it's kind of wishy-washy, but I mean, they weren't really based, like, on the anime. They were kind of their own standalone titles from Nintendo. So, go ahead, Kofi.
Just remembered one other game that I grew up with that I honestly am surprised I didn't, like, think about it sooner. The Mega Man series.
Ooh.
Yes, the original. Oh, I remember
I
the.
Played
oh
the hell
my
of that
god!
Game.
Super Fighting Robot, Mega Man. I remember.
Or even like the original Sonic games, Metabots. Yes.
I liked how you can build your own robot. The storyline wasn't so great, but I liked the idea of how the robots can, you know, puzzle together and make a more powerful robot. I thought that was super cool. That was like my crafty, handsy, tinkering side of my personality that I really liked about that show.
Stay updated with the Top Dogs podcast by subscribing to our YouTube channel and ringing that notification bell. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Hit that follow button to be notified for every new episode. Share the love by leaving us a quick rating. Connect with our community by joining our Discord server and Telegram community chat. We appreciate your support.
Hey, Top Dogs fan, if you're looking to snag some awesome perks while supporting us, explore our server subscription on Discord or Patreon. By becoming a podcast supporter, you'll access exclusive behind-the-scene footage, join supporter meetups, express yourself with a custom hand-drawn emoji featuring the Top Dogs team, and chat with the podcast team and fellow fans. Plus, we've got the brand new After Dogs show for mature audiences at just $2.99 a month. Craving more? Upgrade to the Podcast Supporter Plus for $5.99 a month and enjoy episode voting, supporter feedback, and become part of our live audience. Plus, unlock exclusive sneak peeks of upcoming ideas, merch drops, and much more in the future. There's no obligations to join these subscriptions, but your support genuinely makes a huge difference for their team. And to those who are already subscribed, a heartfelt thank you sincerely from the bottom of our hearts. And we need to have a little one-on-one talk together. Now, if you don't follow us on our social or subscribe to us on YouTube or like our audio, like our episode on the audio platforms, we're going to have to take consequences. And that consequence is I'm going to take a Sharpie and I'm going to censor every single of your Dragon Ball Z comic books.
Oh, that's harsh.
That's meaner than Kamehameha in someone's house.
Yeah. Those are collectibles.
I know. All right, so for the question of the week, what is your favorite anime or manga, and has it influenced you in your life or in some sort of way? Now, Starwolf says, my favorite one is One Piece, because growing up, there wasn't many anime I could stick to, but this made me happy, and I love the dreams they have. Freedom. Aruko says, mine is very, very typical, but it's Beastars, and it influenced me into wanting to create fight scenes or making short films that show meaning. Kyo Dog says, an anime that's had some influence with me is a show called Bakuman. It inspired me to keep up with drawing and creating art pieces. Let's do one more. Lykeo says, Sailor Moon. I don't see that one very often.
Let's go.
Help with my childhood and gave it that extra special feeling watching defeat the bad enemies. So yeah, it's quite cool. We had quite a lot of answers on that question of the week, so I'm only going to go through a few of them. But for anybody who has responded, thank you so much. So now let's keep on going. Anime and manga is celebrated in many, many different ways. The biggest one being anime conventions, comic-its, festivals. Have you attended any one of these? And what was your experience like? Did you cosplay, or what character did you portray? Drake, why don't you start?
Oh man, I've been to a few in my life. A lot of comic book conventions, I've been to a gaming expo, been to a lot of anime conventions too. We have like 3 of them out here every year. And oh man, I fursuit normally, but lately I've been trying to get a Pokemon cosplay going, where it's like the Pokemon trainer, but it's my fursuit too. Because I'm lame.
No, that is awesome. Do it.
Cool. That is actually really cool. So, yeah, I love Pokemon way too much, but what about you, Kolfi?
I've been to a handful of anime conventions, but the time that I've been to it, I've always met some great like voice actors or some great people. I've gotten some fun stuff. I don't necessarily cosplay all that much, just like my fursuit is my main cosplay, but like I've met like Paul St. Peter III, who's voiced Leomon from the original Digimon. He also voiced Kuruma in the English Naruto. I've gotten to meet so many fun voice actors just from going to these conventions, but also my partner being a voice actor and taking me to go see in fun events as well. Like, you just by branching out, I've gotten to see and hear things that like other people are like, oh my god, you've met Jason Mackinnoa, because he did the voice of Starscream in the animated, I did meet Starscream, that was Frank. But so many people, words are hard. The one time I did cosplay was in high school. I cosplayed as Elle. I had a wig on and everything, and my legs hurt from sitting really strange all day. Yes. Like so.
Kind of like that all the time.
Oh my god. That's too good.
How about you, Sakura?
This brings back a lot of memories, because I started my whole convention life at anime conventions. I've been attending them since 2006 quite frequently, and cosplay has always been super huge at every convention I go to. I can't even think of a convention that I haven't cosplayed at. I don't like being a normie at conventions. So, I mean, I've cosplayed characters like Inuyasha. I did Locke from Final Fantasy VI. I've done an OC Kitsune character. I did Okami Amaterasu from Okami. Oh, that's right. I also, from Black Butler, I don't remember the dog's name. But I cosplayed him one time.
I don't remember their name, but I know exactly
what you're
talking about.
Yeah, no, that's driving me nuts. Either. But, it was the dog character that he could transform into a human. I also cosplayed him as well at one point. Yes.
I think Lazarus kind of wanted to draw what it was. I could hear him grab a pen. Oh, he doesn't remember? Okay. It's because he's like, I think I know. And then he went to draw and he went like, oh, shit, I don't know. Sorry.
I like that, Laz.
I love the energy, though. It was kind of cute. You guys didn't see it, but it's behind camera. Speaking of which, when you're a supporter plus, you can actually assist to that. It's a fun perk that comes with it.
Enjoy our backstage. Become part of the live viewing audience as part of the $5.99 package. Subscribe now.
Yeah. See all the goofiness before and after the episodes.
Yes, there's a lot of that to be had. But yeah, no. I've honestly lost track of just how many conventions in total that I have attended in my life, between anime conventions, sci-fi conventions, like superhero conventions, comic conventions, furry conventions. I attended a Star Trek convention at one point. The list is, it's long. I love conventions. Conventions are life, and I will always and forever attend them. What about you, Mumu?
I've been to 2 conventions in my entire life now. 2. It's gonna be 3. Gonna be 3 with FWA. But I have gone to C2E2 in Chicago, and then this past year's MFF. And
you've probably seen my partner at C2E2.
Probably. But I've not cosplayed because if I do, I have to make everything custom because my boobs don't fit into shirts often. especially if they're pre-bought. So if I want to cosplay anything, I have to get a lot of things altered. And I always have to size up my t-shirts. It kind of sucks. But I would absolutely love to maybe cosplay one of the Sailor Scouts. Probably Sailor Mars, honestly. But no, I haven't cosplayed before.
If you do, cosplay Venus alongside you.
Oh my god, heck yes. Please.
No, you could be Sakura and you could be Toffee. Lady Tsunade, or vice versa.
Toffee!
Like I don't have the boobs for Tsunade.
No, but
I know there's a few.
What Mumu would say.
I know there's a few Klingon females that are quite nicely chested inside the Star Trek series. I'm sure you could have played as. There's a few of them.
Anyways.
Yeah, I've been to a few conventions myself. I used to be in the cosplay background before joining the furry fandom. I used to cosplay as Master Chief from Halo 3. So I went to Comic-Con in Montreal and Quebec City a few times. Now, we did have also Otakuton, which is, you know, anime convention. I showed up with my fursuit. I had my fursuit when I found out about this con. And I kind of felt at home and not at the same time because I'm a furry, but at the same time, I'm a Pokemon. So it's like kind of a weird gap. And I was like, you know what? I don't feel I quite relate to the anime group, so I'm going to leave them have their own convention. But it was really nice to attend, and I had a really good time. It's a great community, whether you're furry, part of the anime fandom, or like at the cosplay fandom. All of them are just great, amazing people, and talented and skilled people that make their own costume. It's quite awesome to see whatever fandom you're in. Speaking of which, there are many anime and manga creators from Japan. Are there any who you're a fan of, and what work have they created that made you a fan of theirs? Kofi, why don't you start?
For me, I would have to say, like, Studio Ghibli. I grew up with them, and they've always been an inspiration. Like, again, how I grew up with Princess Mononoke and Nazca and Valley of the Four Winds. There's also a Tears of the Firefly, or like Grave of the Firefly, Kiki's Delivery. There's been so much that has touched my life, and like just the soul stories that they bring, each being something different, but also having something to take out of it. Whether it be like the childishness of Ponyo, but having to grow up through disaster, as well as finding young love and seeing it grow.
What about you, Mumu?
So I don't have like a favorite specific like artist or whatever that like does manga from Japan that's my favorite, but I do have a favorite anime studio. Studio Trigger is one of my favorite because they've done the Kill la Kill anime, they've done the Cyberpunk anime, and a few others that are just, they're so good and they're so worth the watch.
No, those are good ones. I'm definitely along the lines with Kofi here. Studio Ghibli, bless them. They have created the most provoking, most emotional, most beautiful anime to ever be seen across the world.
I agree.
Other favorites of mine would be Rumiko Takahashi, who was the one who made Inuyasha, Akira Toriyama for Dragon Ball, for all the games that he was a part of. Definitely a huge, huge part of my life. Another big one that I really liked was Reki Kawahara. He was the creator of the Sword Art Online series, which I am still very, very well and obsessed with. I definitely think those are my big ones right now.
I have a more recent one that kind of is touching me more, because I haven't watched One Piece until more recently, but Oda. Hearing all the things about Oda, and like even when it comes to the live action of One Piece, of how the actor for Sanji goes to Oda's house and plays the One Piece card game, and they talk like they're just normal human beings. And I find that very humbling that he's done this 1,000-plus-long episode manga, and he's revered now just like as one of the greats because he's done this great thing, but he's still just a humble human being playing a nerdy card game like me.
For me, the one, like, I don't know their name, but I follow them on Twitter. They are the person who made the light Machoke card art. If you've ever seen it, it's just a Machoke on the ground, just gazing at a little flower. And that card is so precious to me. I have that card in my collection, and it was one of the cards I fished out of the garbage because all the boys were like, ew, it's girly. And I was like, no, that's cool. And, oh man, God. Like, I don't remember. If the editors could, I will send a photo for you. If you could just put it there, please just show the world this card art. It's so gorgeous. Thank you. Thank you, Kofi.
We're forcing you to do work. Put the card here.
Yep. I'm sorry. We're making the editors work this episode.
We love you, editors. Thank you for what you do.
We love you.
We love you.
All right, guys. So we're getting really close to the end. We only have a few minutes, so we're going to go through one more question, and I'm going to ask you the following.
Let's do the last one.
You want to do the last one? Okay, I was going to do the before last one. Okay.
Yeah, no, I think the last one really kind of affects all of us.
Okay. How has... okay, let's start over. How has being a furry among anime fans affected you? Is there a disconnect or a camaraderie between furries and otakus? And how do you believe each fandom is perceived by one another? What do you think, Sakura?
Definitely in my time spent at furry conventions, you get the best of both worlds in that one. You have the anime fans who are all like, oh my god, it's a furry, let's get a picture together, oh my god, you're so cute, and wants to pet you and everything. And then you have the other half of the anime fandom who are just kind of like, oh, it's a furry, gross, I bet you they're into this and that and the next. And honestly, I feel like in the fandom there's kind of like that same mentality almost, where you have the people who are just kind of like, oh my god, that's a great cosplay, and you have people like us, they're like, oh, that's a great anime. And then you have the other furries who are just kind of like, oh, anime cosplayers, they don't belong like anywhere near our fandom. And honestly, I think when it really boils down to it, I don't want to say that there's too many differences between, like, the furry fandom and, like, the anime fandom, because we're all in this thing for, you know, the fandom. We're there for, you know, the camaraderie. We're there for the friendships. We're there for the experiences. We're there to share common grounds with one another. So, for me, I feel like there's a 50-50 mix, where there shouldn't be as much, but that's just my personal opinion. How about you, Trek?
Oh, man. I fursuited at a lot of anime conventions, and I get the same response. It's either like, oh my gosh, it's a furry, or oh my god, it's a furry. and, you know, I've had some of my most greatest and precious experiences in, like, Comic-Con, for example. It was one of the first times I've ever fursuited at Comic-Con, and this little girl comes up to me. She's no more than 3 or 4, right? And she just flops onto the ground, and I look at her, I look down, and I'm just really confused, like, okay, this child just randomly comes up to me and flops onto the ground in front of me. I start desperately looking for her parents. I see them,
they're like giving me the thumbs up, like, yeah, no, you're fine, continue on. And he holds up a camera, and I'm just like, okay, let's roll with it. So I flop down onto the ground with this little girl, and the father takes the most gorgeous photos of us just interacting with her. And God, I still have these photos to this day, and once in a while I look at them, and they are some of my most precious fursuiting memories.
So cute.
For me, like, I find that there is a good cross, and there's also some things that, like, both fandoms share that we shouldn't. And I think that might be the tangent that Moo Moo might be going on later, but hygiene definitely needs to be worked on with both fandoms. Like, a deodorant stick isn't that hard, but there's sometimes at anime conventions, they've smelled worse than furry conventions. But, like,
I've heard about the brony ones.
Oh my god, those two. But no, like, I also, for me, like, for people who don't know the furries all that much, I kind of use, like, the Trekkies or the anime conventions to kind of, like, use that as a gateway, because there is a lot of cross between the two. And I also, for me, I use anime as another form of expression. So whenever I wear my fursuit, sometimes I have an Akatsuki cloak on me, because I do like that world. And who wouldn't want to have their own OC? And, like, Bleach, they had some furry characters. There's furry characters prevalent in a lot of animes, including, like, Dragon Ball Z. So furries and anime has a lot of cross, even, like, Beastars being all furries in an anime, or even BNA, where it's like, oh, this half and half. But, like, I find that there is a good healthy cross, and there's things that both crossing needs to work on. And, like, elevator, like, I've had some bad elevator times at a anime convention and at a furry convention.
And close to base.
But hygiene and elevators. Fantastic. Both needs to get better for both sides.
No, then
they also
just finish off the pants there. Oh yeah, tail etiquette. Anime people need to learn tail etiquette, but they need to treat fursuits as cosplay with the same etiquette. To where, if we need to respect their cosplay as well as, like, any sort of culture. And that's the other thing that I do like about the anime conventions, is that they do bring a lot more of the Asian culture to us in the West that we don't normally get to see.
Okay, so I'm gonna go on a little bit of an off course tangent, but I promise it has meaning to tie it in. Okay, so
perfect. You have 10 and a half seconds. Go for it. I'm kidding.
Okay, so recently I went to a concert for a band called Health, and they have a lot of anime, furry, and, like, a bunch of different, like, fans from basically, like, all nerdy walks of life. And being there was a sense of community where there was no judgment, and it was so wonderful, because I saw a couple people in fursuits, I saw a couple people in, like, cyberpunk wear, I saw people in anime wear. It was just, it was awesome. And there was no sense of, like, oh, ew, you're a furry, you're not supposed to be here, or ew, you're an anime nerd, you're an otaku, whatever. Like, it was just a wonderful sense of camaraderie when you can, like, see that we all have these differences and different likes, but we all can come together in a sense and, like, enjoy something. Because that's what cons and stuff and, like, cosplay is for. It's for all of us to go somewhere and enjoy what we enjoy. And honestly, going there was one of the best times of my life.
That's awesome.
Great. It is a great place. I personally think that the reason why there could be some difference is that, you know, if you look at the cosplay in anime, it's always based off characters that, you know, already exist. But the furry fandom is a little bit different, because we make up our own characters. So I think that's why sometimes there's can be, like, some misconceptions or misunderstandings. And to me personally, I have both a fursuit and a cosplay. So me, I want to avoid awkward situations. So if I go to a cosplay convention, I'm going to wear my cosplay. If I'm going to a furry convention, I'm going to put my fursuit. If I go to an otaku convention, I'm more likely to put my Master Chief Halo 3 armor, which I feel is more relatable to them than putting on my fursuit. But at the same time, my fursuit is a Pokemon. But if it would be quadruped, then yes, totally, I would wear it. But It's a weird medium, and I just prefer avoiding situations. But for the most part, I've been to otaku cons with my fursuit, and I had great feedback and great responses for the most part. But one thing that all ties all these cons together is we love to put on a costume, we love to play a character, and we're here to meet other people and other creators and have a fantastic time.
Oh, yeah.
Preach it. Absolutely preach it. Well, yes. I do believe that'll conclude things for this week. We appreciate all of you guys coming by to listen on our Spotify platform and to watch on our YouTube platform. We invite you guys to next episode next week, where I don't know what we'll be discussing, but it'll be soon, which means it gives you guys a reason to subscribe to our channels, because we don't even know what next week is going to be. So stay tuned. You guys all have a fantastic evening. We love all of you. We do have episode voting. That's right. You guys might even be able to vote for next week's episode. Wouldn't that be a thing?
Actually, I know what it's going to be. So next week's episode, we're revisiting music. That was what was voted on by our supporters.
Ooh.
That's fantastic.
Nice. Woo-hoo. So if you guys want to vote on what the next episode's going to be, join one of our subscriptions, because then you too will have a voice on what we talk about up here. But until next time, you guys, thank you so much. Wherever you are in the world, good morning, good evening, good night. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Yay!
Bye!
Good night.
And that's a wrap.
До свидания.
До свидания.
Done,
yeah. Epic Mage, can I show a photo? I show. Yeah.